Tonight, we've heard some powerful testimonies, stories of what God is able to do in a life that is given to Him. And as I was just thinking about tonight and what to share with you in closing, I was reminded of a story that I had. I was reminded of an incident that had taken place with my wife and I. We were driving on our way into the city one morning, and we are on this major route that's like a three-lane highway each direction, and there's a concrete divider in between both sides, the northbound and the southbound traffic. And it's a very busy roadway, a lot of shopping centers and strip malls and different things like that. And we were at a light, and there were about maybe two cars in front of us. And we were in the left lane, and a lot of traffic. And as soon as the light turned green, we took off. And then all of a sudden, we stopped. The cars in front of us stopped. And a man got out from the left lane. So two cars ahead of us, this man got out of his car, and all of a sudden he got in front of all the other traffic, and he stopped all the traffic there. And I'm thinking to myself, what is this guy doing? Is he nuts? Is he crazy? You know, and I was just looking at this guy and thinking, man, what is he doing? You know, we're in a hurry, we need to go, we gotta go, blah, blah, blah. And so all of a sudden I see him, you know, I couldn't see what he was doing, but he had stopped all the traffic, and then all of a sudden I see him in front of me, and he turns, he walks over to the divider, the concrete divider, the barrier there between the southbound and the northbound traffic, and then he turns around, and then he's looking like this, and I can't see what he's doing because our cars are all there, the cars are all in front of us, and all of a sudden I see him walking like this, and then he goes to the curb, and behind him was this mother duck with about 10 little ducklings all together now, following him to the curb. And we're all just there standing, watching, and he leads them to the curb, and then they take off and they just waddle off down the grass of this bank right there on the curb. And, you know, that picture stuck in my mind, and I began to think, my goodness, here's this man. He risks everything. He gets out of his car. He's in the left lane, okay, the fast lane, and he stops, and he gets in front of all the other traffic, and the other traffic stops. So he stops everything, and he leads these ducks to the curb. And I began to think, here's this mother duck. She's thinking, you know, she's leading her family, you know, like she normally does. It's a normal day, but she has no clue, no realization that she's actually leading them, her family, her life, and her family to their doom. They're about to be run over. They're about to be destroyed. It's just a normal day, and she's doing this, and she's trying to lead them somewhere, but she has no clue that she's actually leading them into oncoming traffic, to this roadway of danger. She's leading them to a place where destruction is sure. And here comes this man out of nowhere, and he stops everything, and he saves the day. He saves the day. And I began to think about that even as this night was coming and what to share with you. And I wanted to paint a picture for you, because we have in Christ a mighty Savior. A mighty Savior. Hallelujah. The scripture says we were destined for destruction. The Bible says that the soul that sins, it will die. And I began to look at some of those words. For example, the word sin, you might hear that word, and maybe if you're new to the church, or if you've never been in church before, it's a word that's quite widely used in Christendom. And I thought of the scripture in Isaiah 53 verse 6, which says, we have all left God's path to follow our own, to follow our own. And here, in essence, here is the essence of sin. It's independence from God. It's independence from God. Sin is when you and I make a choice to act contrary to God's commandment. And according to the scripture, that leads to death. It can lead to a premature death, physical death, but it does result in a spiritual death, a spiritual separation from God. Death, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, came as a result of sin. A holy God must separate himself from anything which is not in harmony with his character. Therefore, when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, they had to leave the presence of God. They had to leave the paradise of God. And they were no longer permitted to continue eating from this tree of life, this source of life. They no longer had access to this life, the life that only God could give them. Living in sin. The scripture says we were all spiritually dead, cut off from the life of God, full of misery and shame, fearful of death, fearful of the future. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Did you know that? The Bible says Satan is that spirit that is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with this nature. We inherited it from our first parents, Adam and Eve. And we were under God's anger, under God's wrath, just like everyone else. Destined to go to hell, to spend an eternity out of the presence of God. Without hope, without God in the world. Destined for destruction. But God showed us his great love. The scripture says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners living apart from him. He sent Christ to die for us. That's why the priest Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, the father of John the Baptist, began to say in a prophecy as he began to give praise and glory to God. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him and he began to prophesy, saying, in other words, he began to speak truth under the inspiration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he began to say, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. In other words, praise and honor and glory be to God, who is worthy of praise. That's why the choir sang the way they sang tonight. That's why that neighbor on your left and on your right sang the way they sang tonight. That's why that woman or brother behind you sang so loudly tonight. You might have been wondering, why are they singing so loud? They have a reason to praise him. We have a reason to praise him. Hallelujah. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath visited his people. And this word visited means to look upon with mercy. He has looked upon people, his people, with mercy and favor. Hallelujah. He's taken care of his people. That's what it means to, in this word, visited his people. He hath redeemed them. I like this word, redeem. It means once and for all freeing, releasing, and delivering us from the guilt, hallelujah, and the punishment of our sins by dying for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation. The New Living Translation says, a mighty Savior. He has raised up a mighty Savior as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets from since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. That we should be saved to perform the mercy he promised, the oath that he might grant unto us, that we being delivered, drawn out, and that word delivered means drawn out of calamity, pulled out of this place of danger, just like that man, just stopping everything, stopping all this traffic, rush hour traffic, to lead those little ducks to safety. We have a mighty Savior that stopped everything, came down to earth, went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, showing us who God is, showing us his heart, and then going to a cross to pay the price, the penalty for your sin and mine. Hallelujah. That we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. I began to think about that. I looked up that word Savior, and it's an interesting word. It comes from the word sozo, and it means to save. And it speaks of three different things that I wanted to point out to you tonight. First of all, it speaks of being delivered from physical and temporal danger, suffering, and everything like that. I began to think of the disciples who one day climbed into a boat, a ship. In Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says they followed Christ into the ship, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Here's Jesus asleep in the bottom of the boat. And here are these waves and these storms arising. And these men are seasoned fishermen. You have to understand this. And I'm sure they're doing everything they can in their own power to save themselves, but they couldn't. And so the Bible says they came to Jesus and awoke him. They began to awake him. And they said, Lord, save us. We perish. That same word. Save us. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The Bible says he makes wars to cease. Do you have a storm going on the inside? Do you have a storm going on in your home? Is there a lot of drama in your life because of the things that are going on that no one else knows about it? You need to know tonight, God knows. He knows everything. He knows all the skeletons in your closet tonight. He knows it all. The Bible says that he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Folks, we serve a mighty Savior. Hallelujah. Who is able to deliver? Who is able to deliver from danger? I remember one time we had done an outreach and we were coming home, and I had a number of young people in my car in the back seat, and we were praising God. Our choir had ministered in a church in the Bronx, and we were coming down the West Side Highway, and it was dark. It was nighttime, and you know, we were just before we had left, we prayed, God, guide us, keep us safe, and I'm praying that. And so we're heading down back towards the church, and I know there are parents there waiting for the kids. And then all of a sudden, randomly out of nowhere, I look up and I look in my rearview mirror, and here comes this car, and it's flying down the highway. And I mean, there was music in our car playing, the kids are talking, we're all fellowshipping, but all of a sudden out of nowhere, I look in this mirror, and then I decide at the last minute, you know what, I better get out of the way. And I pull to the right lane, and all of a sudden this car comes, and it just misses us. He swings around, he hits the divider, and he comes twirling around in front of us. And folks, if I hadn't looked in that rearview mirror at that point, he would have hit us. But God delivered us. Just a random thought. I think you should look in the rearview mirror. Out of nowhere. And here comes this guy. I think you should get out of the way. And I get out of the way, and here's God's protection. I could go on. I could tell you testimony after testimony of God's delivering, protecting hand in my life. God is faithful. And he is able to deliver us from danger, from suffering, from difficulties of all kinds. Secondly, this word speaks of also spiritual and eternal salvation granted immediately by God to those who believe on Christ. And that's what this night is all about. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace. He saves us by his grace when we believe. And we can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. It's a miracle of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is the only one that can save and deliver. Hallelujah. He comes and he delivers us and he causes us to be able to be forgiven of all our sins, all our record in heaven, all the wrong things you and I have ever done. When we place our faith in Christ, they are wiped away completely because of his shed blood on the cross. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, the scripture says. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. That old life is gone and a new life begins. Another scripture speaks of it as being born of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, but to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right, the power to become children of God. They are reborn. It's not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. It's something that God does in the life. Hallelujah. I think of when I first came to Christ. Folks, I grew up going to church, lighting candles, praying the same prayers over and over, thinking that that would change me. But I would walk out after every one of those meetings, I would walk out and I was still the same person, full of hurt, full of rejection, full of anger, empty on the inside. I had gone from relationship to relationship, pursued my career, pursued sports, had done all types of stuff, and I was still empty on the inside. Until one day, God sent someone to share with me the message of the gospel, like you're hearing tonight, simply that you can have a new life in Christ. That God did not create you just to live your life every day for yourself, empty, unsatisfied, burdened with the misery, the guilt, and the shame of your sin. But that if you were to place your faith and confidence in him, you could have a new life. And folks, when I heard what this man shared with me, it was my friend's dad. He was a pastor and he began to share the gospel with me. And I was there, my girlfriend was there, his girlfriend was there, my friend was there, we were all there. And folks, you have to understand, I was filled with anger. I used to fight physically with my father as a teen. I was full of rage, anger, had the most foul, vile mouth. I would bottle things up because I didn't feel loved at home, and somebody would just come and press the button, the last straw, and all of a sudden it would all come out. I would explode. I would throw furniture in the house just in a rage. But that day in that living room when I heard the news, something in me told me, this is what you've been searching for all your life. There was a witness on the inside. This is it. And folks, that day, 23 years ago, October 10th, 1986, I stood up in that living room where that man said, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, I stood up. Now, you have to understand, I had the devil speaking to me in my mind, telling me, don't do it. Don't do it. You've got your own religion. You've got your own belief system. What are your parents going to think? What are your friends going to think? What is everybody going to think? And folks, that day I recognized that Christ died for me. And I remember I was trying to hold it in. I started crying and I was trying to hold it in. And my girlfriend was sitting right next to me. And I was trying to be macho and hold it in. And I couldn't. I started crying all the more. crying like a baby. Because I saw Christ as the one who loved me and gave his all for me, died for me, and so that I could have this new life. And I was tired of my old life. And I looked over at my girlfriend and she was crying. I looked over at my friend's girlfriend and she was crying. I looked at my friend and he was crying. And we were all crying there. And his dad stood up and said, Christ is here. If you want to receive him as your Savior tonight, stand to your feet. And folks, that day I stood, even though I heard these voices in my head, I stood up and I prayed a simple prayer. I gave my heart to the Lord and I've never been the same since. Hallelujah. And little by little, things began to change. God began to bring healing to all the relationships in my life. The relation, my dad and I, we are now best friends. Hallelujah. The cursing is gone. The rage, the anger, it's gone. Hallelujah. God is good. I said, God is good. He spoke peace into my storm. The Christian life, you have to understand tonight, is not something that you can do. It's not something that in your own strength. What we're talking about is a supernatural transformation that takes place when you place your faith in God. I was reading something the other day and I thought about what it said. It said the Christian life is more than difficult. It's humanly impossible to live. Do you know only Jesus Christ can live it through you as he dwells within you? He wants to think with your mind, express himself with your emotions, and speak through your voice, though you might be unconscious of it. When Christ becomes the controller of our lives, he becomes Lord over every activity. And the result of that is purpose and harmony. Are you looking for purpose tonight? Are you wondering why you were created? When Christ is in control, you now know. Because he leads you, guides you, and directs you. The Christian life is not a person trying to imitate Christ. But instead, it's Christ imparting his life and living his life through the person. It's not what you do for him, but it's what he's done for you. And he continues to do in and through you. Hallelujah. We have a mighty Savior in Jesus Christ. And today, you can experience his forgiveness and walk in newness of life. The newness of life that only he alone can give. If you're tired of going at this on your own and you say, Pastor, I understand what I've heard today. I understand that Jesus Christ died for my sins now. What do I have to do? The Bible says simply, if you will believe, and the word believe means to trust in him, cling to him, rely on him. The scripture says, if you will believe, you will see, you will experience, you will know the glory of God in your life. You will know it. But you also have to repent. And the word repentance means to turn away from sin, disobedience, or rebellion and turn back to God. In a more general sense, repentance means a change of mind or feeling or remorse or regret for the past conduct of your life. True repentance is godly sorrow for sin. And it results in you and I making a 180-degree turn where we go from living for ourselves, doing what we want, living independently of God, not caring about his commandments, living in sin, and turning around and trusting in God every day and relying on him and allowing him to live his life through you. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? All over this place. Tonight, if you would agree with me and say, Pastor, I'm not living for God. As a matter of fact, I'm a sinner. I'm living in sin. And I want to be born again. I want to be born of God. I want this new life that I heard so much about tonight. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want you to raise your hand all over this place, unashamedly, on this main floor and up in the balcony and also in the annex. Would you raise your hand tonight all over this place? Amen. Hey, praise God. All over this house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Up in the balcony as well. Raise your hand tonight unashamedly. He will change you. He will transform you. He will deliver you tonight. Amen. You can put your hand down. As well, those here who are backslidden and you've drifted away from the Lord and you'd like to come back to Jesus, I want to invite you to come to the front and join those that raise their hand. We're going to pray together. We're going to worship and then we're going to pray. And God is going to do a miracle in your life tonight. Let's stand all over this house quietly and reverently. Let's stand. Those of you who raised your hand, would you step out of your seat and come to the front of this church? We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. God's going to deliver you tonight. He's going to save you. He's going to change you. You will become a citizen of heaven. You'll have an assurance in your heart that when you die, you'll go to live with Jesus forever and ever. Those around you will make room for you. Don't listen to the voice of the devil who would tell you you've got plenty of time. Don't do it. Don't do it. He wants to rob you of the life that Christ alone can give you. He will change you, but not only will he change you, he will use you as an instrument to bring healing to your family, healing on your workplace, healing in your community. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to sing tonight, and then we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Some of you might be wondering, you know, what's going to happen after this? You know, the same God who's kept you alive this long has delivered you time and time again from danger and watched your back, protected you, brought you here tonight, is the same God that if you open up your heart, as we shared, he will cleanse you and forgive you of your sins and cause you to become a citizen of heaven, cause you to become alive in him. But not only that, every day he will come and he will be present to empower you to walk in freedom and liberty from every sin, evil deed, action, life-controlling habit, as we heard tonight, alcoholism, weed, pornography, rage. God will deliver you from the pain of your past. He will take care of you. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you say, Pastor, I want to pray, and I trust that's why you've come, I want to lead you just in a simple prayer, just acknowledging that you are a sinner and that you're sorry for the wrong things you've done and that you accept the price that Christ paid for your sin. Would you bow your head with me and raise your hand? Those of you who would like to pray that prayer, raise your hand and pray. I want you to pray from your heart. I'm just going to help you articulate this tonight. Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, tonight I have heard your truth and I receive it. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I am sorry for all the wrong things I've done. It was my sin that caused you to have to go to the cross and die a horrible death. An innocent man died for me. God, I thank you for loving me so that you would go to this extent to deliver me, to save me, to reconcile me back to yourself. Tonight, I'm so grateful. I ask that you would come into my heart and take complete control. I renounce everything of evil in the name of Jesus. Devil, you no longer have a claim on my life. I belong to Jesus, and he belongs to me. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to pray for the rest that have come. I know there are some that have come with burdens tonight. Father, I thank you for the rest that have come with burdens, those that are believers, oh God, that are in the battle of their life. Tonight, I thank you that they are not alone, that you are with them, and that they are in the palm of your hand. You are in total control. You are still the one and sovereign King. You are on the throne and nothing escapes your gaze. Tonight I pray for grace. I pray for strength. I pray for peace. And I pray for an overwhelming sense of your love in this place. And I thank you that the devil is a liar and that you will see us through till the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord thanks tonight. God is good all the time. Hallelujah.